This is Joanne Verkeilen with Circle and Bloom. This podcast, we'd like to do something very special, and this is really dedicated to the National Adoption Awareness Month, which is November every year. And I have with me my dearest, closest friend, Stephanie Clark Fitzgerald, who actually for me was sort of I call her my muse with respect to Circle and Bloom. And we both went through infertility struggle, the fertility baby dance, and, you know, want to share our stories as much as possible. And Stephanie has been not only a huge, my number one supporter, but as I had said, my muse. I really created our first natural cycle program with her in mind, as a daily relaxation tool and then guided visualization as to what, you know, your body should be doing. So, but Stephanie and her husband, Mike, are now the proud parents of a beautiful three-week-old baby boy who was adopted from a couple in Florida. And this is their third child. The first two are girls, Ellie and Grace, and obviously two girls. And so now they've are adding to their family with this beautiful baby boy. So we're so happy for them. And so Stephanie agreed to share her story with us, and I'm so proud to have her and call her my friend, first of all. So Stephanie, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So what we'd first like to do is I'd like to ask Stephanie to share really the reason why they decided to add to their family through adoption.
So it's definitely been quite a journey for my husband, Mike, and I. We actually always knew that we wanted and desired to have what we've been calling a blended family, both biological children and adoptive children. And we knew that from our very initial days of dating each other, and so it was always sort of part of our vision for making a family. And most recently, it became very clear to me and to my husband that now was the time. And we figured that out. It was really quite interesting. Our first two, Ellie, came relatively easily for us, and then Grace was actually quite a journey through IVF, and we were very fortunate because she was our first cycle, and it all worked out great, and everything went very smoothly. However, even having a really successful experience with IVF, just the emotional roller coaster that brings with it. And so Joanne had launched Circle and Bloom, and I was using the Natural Cycle Program, and had this experience of sort of, as she takes you through many of the different kind of ways of relaxing and then visualizing what you want for yourself and sort of that process of taking control of your fertility, I sort of had two pretty amazing experiences. One was just this incredible sense of gratitude for having two children who we were able to conceive as our biological children. And just feeling like that was an incredible blessing. And then it was one of the next times where I was using Circle and Bloom and really visualizing sort of where I felt like I was going and we were going as far as conceiving our own child naturally. And I came to the conclusion that it may not happen naturally. And especially our journey took us to IVF with Grace, and I just knew that given our vision for a family included adoption, that at that moment I knew what our decision needed to be, and that it was time actually to put the energy that I was putting towards trying to have my body naturally conceive to having the two of us, Mike and I, really focus on the work it takes to adopt.
So and we have referenced to this a lot with Stephanie's kind of, you know, her intuition, her body intuition kind of communicating back to her, I think, while you were listening to the program, mm-hmm. like, you know, just, okay, this isn't going to happen. So you had always had this idea of a blended family in your mind, and it kind of said, you said to yourself, why don't we just go ahead and start that process, start that. And so if you can talk now a little bit about the journey, which having gone through it as her friend, I have to say, we you're going to have to write a book or write this down in some way, shape, or form, because it's it was an absolute roller coaster.
Yeah. So actually, after that moment of kind of reflecting and during that visualization session, after that moment, I actually remember so vividly grabbing my husband, I think it was probably the next day or the day after, and we were sitting outside, and I just said, you know, I just think that having another biological child is just not necessarily in the cards, and let's go for it, you know, on this adoption thing. And you could tell he was really moved by that incredibly. He was like, wow. And so I remember about a week later, I think we actually probably was Matt and Joe who enabled us to go out for a really nice dinner. And it was that evening that I believe we conceived of our child through adoption. And over dinner, you know, we just shared our dreams for what we envisioned around adoption and what that would mean for our girls and for our family and where we were in life, and that we actually weren't getting any younger and the economy wasn't getting any better. And with both of those things, we might as well just jump in. And so we did. And within months, we began the formal process of, we decided that we wanted to go with an adoption agency. We did do some exploration around using a number of different routes, whether it's a lawyer or even going through the foster adopt system. But I think we both decided that it was important for this third child to be a child that we knew could join our family and stay. And so that was why we really sort of, at that point, ruled out foster to adopt. So found an agency, an amazing agency called American Adoptions, and began the process of completing a home study, which is incredibly detailed. I actually think that every single parent should have to complete a home study just to become parents. you know, just makes you think about so many different things, and making sure that your home is physically and emotionally safe. You know, just having all your ducks in a row and making sure, you know, you've had your physicals and everybody in the family has and all your paperwork's in place, and that takes time. And then the process of actually coming up with a profile, because through our adoption agency, you actually have to have a way that birth families can choose you. And that's an incredibly challenging process to think about. Well, I have to sell myself and my husband and our children and our family and our community to, you know, people who are going to hand over a child to you. That process was incredibly intense and moving. And so then you get all that done, which took us, I don't know, like 3 to 5 months just to get all the paperwork done and officially be active. And we were active by a year ago, September. And we had decided that what we were looking for was a healthy child, but we were very open racially. We're open sex, you know, open where in the country, you know. And so that we didn't know when we would match.
And you decided early on that this would be a domestic adoption, because a lot of people, when they hear adoption, I think in a lot of instances, especially I think the press covers a lot of international adoptions. What was it that made you hone in on a domestic situation, and did you look at any of the international options?
Right. So I think that certainly for me, probably more so than Mike, my vision of adoption is part of my overall approach to life, which is that I think part of the reason why I'm here on the planet is to try and improve both education for children in our cities, particularly in communities where public education isn't of the quality it should be. And so for me, I feel like when I thought of adoption, I thought of our children domestically, that we don't typically think of first for adopting. And And so that was why pretty early on it was important, because in a lot of ways, the work that I do working in urban public schools, the child who potentially would join our family would be a child who, you know, is in probably an urban and less resourced community. And so that felt like it was part of my overall belief that we need to really make our entire country, regardless of where you're born, you know, your economic conditions, be an amazing place to be as a child and as a human being. So the thing about international adoption, though, which of course made our journey, you know, that much more complicated domestically, is with international adoption, once you are matched with a child, most likely that's going to be your child, unless there's going to be a disruption internationally in the process. Mm-hmm. Whereas domestically, once you match with a birth mom, typically, or even a birth family, it could be with a mom who's still pregnant. It could be, you know, yes, the baby's born, but depending upon the state, they can't make the decision of terminating their parental rights until, say, 24 hours, 72 hours. Some states it's even longer. There's a longer process where the birth family can change their mind. And that, as has been our experience, can be incredibly heart-wrenching. So.
Right. And so, yeah, if you can just talk a little bit about that, because, you know, you were matched with a birth mom. You actually had a relationship with one of the birth moms that you had an interaction with or went down the path with. And I know that it was incredibly heart-wrenching. Right. You know, when the baby is born, you were there. Mm-hmm. And it was a situation where emotions are, you know, incredibly high. Mm-hmm. On both sides. And can you just maybe share a little bit, just because I think it's not because of the dark side of this coin, but because it's information that people should understand, right, that's not necessarily talked about, right, when you're thinking about adoption.
Right. Not dissimilar from whether you're trying naturally to get pregnant and those ups and downs of, oh my goodness, this month did we get pregnant, or again, you know, it didn't work out, or if you're going through an IVF cycle and all the different moments in that process, which are incredibly terrifying and so emotionally charged. I think the same thing happens with, certainly, even with an international adoption, though I have not done that, but with domestic adoption, given that you are given, unless you choose to only adopt after the parent has terminated their rights, mm-hmm, you are along for the journey, depending upon when the birth parents have chosen you as a family. And so, as you just referred to, situation where we matched with a birth mom and she was only 5 months pregnant. I mean, she didn't even know whether she was having a boy or a girl. And so, you know, the first conversation we had with her was just, you know, my God, thank you so much for choosing us. We're so excited. You know, we cannot wait to help you fulfill your desire and, you know, in our life dreams. And so even just that next week, she's like, you know, I'll call you when I know whether it's a boy or a girl. And I just remember that day when, you know, her appointment was at 9:30. She calls at 5 of 10 and, you know, she's like, you're going to have a boy. And, you know, and of course, we were open. I mean, we love our girls and we're open to boys or girls. But, you know, to envision having a son for my husband was incredible. And then every week or every 2 weeks, we would talk and just see how she's feeling, how she's doing, you know, how are things going emotionally. And, you know, all the way up until the end where she was concerned whether or not she would have another C-section. And at the very, very end, she calls and says, you know, I had an ultrasound. It looks like this is going to be a big baby, and I want to do the C-section, and I think I'll probably do it on Monday. And so we had to make the decision, you know, do we go ahead and go to Florida and be there for the C-section, or, you know, do we wait until, you know, everything comes through? And we said, we're not going to miss the birth of our child, you know, just like we're not going to miss the birth of our biological children. So sure enough, you know, Monday morning, we're jumping on a plane, and once we land, we get the call that actually it's not going to happen that day. And so there's kind of that roller coaster of trying to make sure that she has the kind of birth she wants. We're there for the C-section a couple days later. And I was in the room with her, along with her stepfather, and there to support her. And I was the first one to hold him, and just amazing little angel. And, you know, just so incredibly, you know, moved by the birth mother's incredible strength. And, you know, we were there and the whole family seemed to be quite supportive of us as the adoptive family. You know, they had chosen us as a family. Her mom, her stepfather, her friends, you know, they had chosen us from the handful of families. And kind of crazy, they even seemed to want a name. They had come up with a similar name for him as we did. And, you know, everything just felt so right. And then, so that was the day he was born, and spent a lot of quality time with birth mom and her family. And then by the next morning, it was clear that it was beginning to unravel, and that the family had changed their mind, that they just could not see him go to, you know, another family other than their own. And for the reasons that they had decided, you know, on adoption, you know, why they made this choice at this time was unclear. However, our desire has always been to adopt a child for whom the birth parents wanted adoption, not to try and convince a family, you know, if this was not something they wanted. And so, you know, as we saw that happening, we were absolutely there. We said, you know, this is what we can provide, and this is who we are, and we certainly want to be there for you. And for whatever reason you made this decision originally, you know, make sure you reconnect with that and make sure this is the decision you want. But if it is, obviously, you know, we'll support you on that. And by the next morning, you know, we knew that they had made their final decision, and so we were headed home. And you know, it's just that incredible, you know, in my case, I had prepared leave from work, and
you had prepared for breastfeeding.
Yeah, I had prepared for breastfeeding. I'd been pumping for 9 months. And so, you know, we were physically and emotionally, we thought, very ready for this little angel. And you know, thank God, in our case, the group that's been supporting us, including Joanne and her husband and other friends locally, you know, were there to receive us when we came home that night, because I think that was one of the lowest nights ever. You know, and but you, at the same time, I think that it's a gift that they chose. Mm-hmm. You know, they chose to raise their son, and you know, we just hope that he's incredibly happy, and you know, his life is, you know,
and
healthy.
this story, not repeated to this level of intensity, I don't think, but because you had stayed with the mom for so long, but it did happen a few more times where, you know, the first situation was a baby born in the Bronx and, you know, again, looked good, but it was a very last minute thing. And it was a little girl. And at the last minute that turned the other way. And then the last one again was a family in Florida, and you know, very, very difficult, very difficult to, in your mind, think that you have this baby, and for better or for worse, as you said, because you don't want to feel as if you're cajoling anybody into the process. It's got to be all right. It's got to be, everything's got to be right. You know, so you went through this three times, and you never swayed from the process, which I think everybody found, you know, absolutely courageous. And you never swayed from that decision. And but at the same time, because of the length of time that had transpired, you decided to look into foster to adopt. Yeah. And I may be saying that incorrectly, fostering to adopt, foster to adopt. So if you can talk a little bit about that now,
sure,
that would be great, because I think that that's another option people should be aware of.
You know, no, though I don't know too much other than my training I've been doing over, my husband and I did, it was about 8 weeks of training, actually to become licensed, a licensed foster family in the state of New Jersey. You must go through this training in order to be eligible to adopt a child through the foster care system. And I think that it's an incredible approach that a family can take towards adoption. There are so many children, I think it's about 60,000 children in the state of New Jersey that are currently in the foster care system, and many of them looking for permanent homes. And so, you know, there's just this incredible need. And we in the midst of our training, actually, we will be finishing up our license by probably early January. So having the arrival of our adoptive son in the midst of all this has been an incredible blessing, because certainly my view on it, not being very well educated around the foster to adopt process, is that there's certainly more uncertainty, because you really have to go into it believing that no matter whether the child ultimately stays with you forever and becomes your adoptive child, or has this incredible opportunity to be reunited with his or her family, you have to be okay with that. Right. And so that's why I feel so fortunate to have been able to afford and to have gone through the private adoptive process, because the real journey is about 12 to 24 months of uncertainty. And, that's just incredibly hard to think about. However, we are still open to and interested in having a fourth child. So we may be able to tell you more about that experience down the road. But I think it's incredible. And there's an incredible network here in Montclair around those families who have chosen to go that route towards adoption. And many, many successful families. So,
and now that we're looking at this beautiful sleeping child over there, and we'll be able to take pictures tomorrow. So yeah. I'll post some pictures as well of the whole family. So you're looking at a potential fourth child. And we also talked about this earlier before this talk, was that everything has happened. While you were going through it, it didn't seem like it was going as it should.
Right.
For each, maybe not Ellie, yeah. but even Gracie with IVF, it was very questioning at the end that whether or not you were pregnant, very difficult.
Yeah.
And then with the adoption, it was taking longer and being much more emotional roller coaster. That, you kind of look back and you say, well, that wouldn't have happened if this didn't happen this way. And so everything just kind of has fallen into place as it should, as you're sitting here today looking back on your life.
Right.
And so maybe that's, if you can share your thought on that, because I think it just gives people hope. Like this too shall pass. And you look back and you'll say, okay, well, that's why that happened. I learned that. I gained that experience so then I can be a better parent in this situation.
Right.
Or now the foster situation probably wouldn't have come through as quickly if, the adoption went, like that.
Right. Yeah, I was telling Joanne that I just think we may have always thought of adoption as a vision for how we would build our family, and it may never have happened if we would have had three or four children biologically just easily. And the same way with this getting licensed to be a foster family. Like we've always envisioned that as part of our family as well, but we would have put that off for another 10 years to get even the training and get exposed to what that means if we hadn't had to wait for a year and a half to have our little Michael Xavier. So I think that it has happened for a reason. It's amazing because the our agency sent a little just kind of a neat adoption book and a little t-shirt that says worth waiting for. And it's a little onesie and he has it on today. And, there's no question that, our son was worth waiting for and that he was meant to be our son. And I had a friend who said to me, he was throwing all these different things in your path around the adoption journey so that he could be the one that was adopted by you. And, I really believe that. I feel like he was the one who's meant to be our son. And, I do believe that the reason why this journey took so long was in part because we needed to be prepared. And not only we needed to be prepared, but our community needed to be prepared. Michael Xavier, our son, is African American, and we are a Caucasian family, and we have a beautiful, diverse community here in Montclair. But even our family needed, our biological family, our extended family needed that opportunity to really embrace the concept of a transracial adoption. And I mean, just talk about it, embracing it is just more than one could ever dream for. You know, family members reading and talking about it and speaking out in their respective communities about, you know, how important it is not only to adopt, but that transracial adoption is an incredible and beautiful thing to be proud of. And then I just think that, you know, we... Little Grace got a year older, which I think is a good thing. She needed to get older. And, you know, we also learned so much just about what, how difficult of a decision it is for a birth family to make, having been through it three times where they made the choice to keep their child. And so I think that that made our conversation with his birth parents so much more meaningful and, just felt so much more embracing when we met his birth parents and had the opportunity to talk with them, you know, and just share, really listen to what they dream for him. And you might be able to hear him in the background. That's his little chirping.
Well, actually, I wanted to ask you about that to end on this note, which would be the conversation that you had with the birth mom as you met them and as you were kind of saying your hellos and goodbye, not goodbyes, but meeting them for the first time and what she said to you, because it's, I think, shows even for, she was, you know, younger in her late teen, right? 17 or 18. And it just showed an incredible level of maturity.
Yeah. And what's so interesting for me is that this is clearly, it's a point in time in our adoption journey. Obviously this is a lifetime of Michael Xavier being our forever child, and to begin that part of the journey with an incredible conversation with his mom and his birth dad, I'd say the biggest thing that I wanted to share is that his birth mom shared her love and her dreams for him when she saw him again and really held him and just told him how much she loves him and how much her family loves him and you know, found out his name. She was just like, oh my God, Michael is just such a beautiful name. Oh, Michael, you're going to do so many big things. You're going to see the world, aren't you, Michael? And just, oh my God, so delicious from a mother's perspective. And then, you know, we asked sort of what you hope for him and what you want him to be involved in. And both mother and father really said that they wanted him to be, you know, be very active and involved in a lot of sports. And when I asked, do you want report cards? They said, absolutely. And then went into like the dreams that they have for themselves. And in particular, his mom really wants to be a nurse and, you know, wants to finish school this year. And little Michael has a full brother, and so she and the birth father want to take good care of him, and the birth father has dreams not only for himself but also members of his family that he's supporting, and so when we departed, his mother hugged me and said, you know, I just want you to be so proud of what I do with my life. And I said to her, I just want you to be so proud of what we do with your son's life. And, you know, it's just a incredibly powerful way to begin the next journey in this adoption process, with such incredible support from both his birth mom and his birth dad.
So finally, Steph, if you could maybe impart three, you know, biggest things that you would suggest couples to think about as they're thinking about adoption, what would you suggest?
So first off, I think that the making the decision to adopt is a big one, and my recommendation is to really spend the time discussing the topic deeply, you know, your fears, your dreams, with your partner. And, you know, just lay it all out on the table as to what you think is amazing about adoption, what you think is terrifying about adoption, and, you know, so get into that personal conversation around the decision, you know, consult experts on the topic, do your reading, you know, consult, adoption professionals who, with whom you might work. And then also reach out to people like me, you know, who've done it, and ask all the questions that you'd be terrified to ask a lot of people, you know, just cut to the chase and, you know, ask them. And because I think that it's important as much as possible that when you make that decision to get into it, you're as informed as you possibly can right. be. That's not to say that you're not going to become so much more knowledgeable as you get into it, but the more you can go into it with your eyes wide open, I think just the better off you're going to be and the more stamina you're going to have for the process. So that's one, is just being really clear about your decision with your partner based upon some real knowledge. And then I'd say the second one is, which is great when you're making that decision, you know, you're talking to your immediate family, you're talking to your, you know, community members or your faith community or whomever you turn to for support, and you're letting people know that that this is something that you're, you know, considering, and then maybe even deciding and announcing it with your community. And because as you get into adoption, as you're doing your home study, as you're getting your paperwork prepared, like, you need to have recommendations and you need to, and so it's important that you're putting together that community of support. And for a family like ours, who we have had just an incredibly blessed and joyous life, we haven't needed much support. And this journey has required a lot of support, and we've just been just overwhelmed with the generosity of just love and time and just people being right alongside you. And whereas conceiving naturally can be a pretty private experience, I believe that adoption should be a pretty communal experience. And by the nature of how it works, it almost has to be. And if you do that well, then you're going to be able to make it for the long haul. And then the third thing is that I guess I would characterize it as really being prepared to be patient and to be strong through the ups and downs. And you can control some of that. Actually, control is the wrong word, because actually I don't think you can control most of anything in adoption besides maybe some of the parameters that you place around what you're looking for as far as a child or a family. But even that, when you put in your parameters and you say, okay, we're open racially, but we really want a healthy child in the case of what we were looking for, in the end, we ended up opening ourselves. I mean, we had a situation where, you know, birth mom, you know, she did use some drugs during her pregnancy, and so and had many situations where we were open to that, because actually once you do the research, you find out that there isn't a long-term effect. So you can affect the time that it takes for your adoption to come through by your openness, by your flexibility. But you also, I mean, I guess the only other thing I'd say around this patience and just being strong throughout is that you do have to take care of yourself. You have to take care of your spouse. You have to take care of your kids if you have them. And so it's almost like thinking about it as a marathon, and that there are going to be many sprints within it. And so, you know, making sure that you eat right, that you're working out, that, you know, in my case, keeping working was really important. You want to have space for this child to come into your life, and you want to have that emotional and physical space, but not knowing exactly when it's going to happen, you really have to be flexible. So I guess those would be the three things, and I probably have a list of 20 things, but I guess I would focus on those three things at this point.
I know, as we were finishing up, I'm like thinking of all the other things that we could be bringing up at this point. And it almost would warrant a whole nother conversation, which I may convince you of doing. But at this point, we'll wrap it up. And I just wanted to again say that this was my really good friend, Stephanie Clark Fitzgerald, talking about her adoption experience for National Adoption Month. And thank you so much for listening. Check us out at circlebloom.com/blog. You'll find this podcast as well as other materials that we'll post, including photos of this young and growing family. And again, this is for National Adoption Awareness Month. Shoot me an email with any questions, comments, suggestions, Joanne@circlebloom.com. Thank you so much.